Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world! George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
We're recording early. We're recording on Sunday. It's 2:30 on Sunday, and it's a good day to be a Yankee fan.
It's a great, great day to be a Yankee fan. I would go so far as to call this
a great day.
Oh, it's double great. Come on, this is the biggest week of the season. And one of the things, we record Mondays most of the time, so I think a lot of times we both almost make the mistake of just reacting to like the Sunday game or the Saturday game. But I we have to start with that Blue Jays series, because to me, that was a season altering type series to take 3 of 4 with half the team on the IL, with all the shit the Blue Jays were talking, where we both are in the standings. I mean, it was massive.
It was huge. Let's say this team can continue to chip away and eventually win a division. It's going to be this series that everyone looks back on and says, you know, when did things turn around? Well, they turned around in Toronto during a very chippy, series where it wasn't just the shit talk that happened, you know, leading up to the season, in the season. But also, I mean, I don't even want to call it gamesmanship. There was just a lot of bullshit that was going around during that series. And to overcome that as well is huge.
It was massive. And this Blue Jays rivalry thing, it almost started out as a joke, right? In the offseason, Manoah calls Cole the biggest cheater in baseball history, which is obviously hyperbole. Vlad says he'll never, you know, step foot in a Yankee uniform, and we're the easiest team to play against. And then it's kind of a joke. But then you get into the games, and they're yelling at our base coaches for where they're standing, and their announcers are accusing Judge of cheating. And it's almost like they gave us the wake-up call that we needed, and we weren't going to wake ourselves up. It's almost like they did us a favor, man. Like, they woke us up for us.
And yeah, it's like the only thing worse than getting your ass kicked is getting your ass kicked while someone talks shit to you. And so, like, we weren't going to let them talk shit and kick our asses.
No.
You know? And I mean, you alluded to Judge a little bit. I mean, Judge is a monster. He is, you know, he's come out hot and played that series hot. And, you know, I know you have your list of things to go to, but, like, can we talk about the him looking away?
Yeah, of course. What's your take on it?
I mean, he did nothing wrong. I think it's, you know, like, that is baseball. So the same way, like, I'm for robo umps, because umpires have just gotten so bad. Like, you know, it's just they continue to get worse and worse and worse, and that's a major problem. But before that, I wasn't so for him, and one of the main things was, you know, when you're a pitcher and you get that outer edge and you try to see, can I get another inch? Can I get another inch? Can I get another inch? That's gamesmanship within the game of baseball, right? And looking at seeing a guy tipping pitches, relaying signs from second base, the guys on the field may not like it, and they have a ball to throw at each other if they don't like it. But if you're tipping your pitches and a guy in the dugout or a guy on deck or whatever can give that to the batter, I'm fine with that. Where it becomes an issue, like the Astros stuff, is when technology is involved, when it's not just the guys on the field doing it, when someone else is involved in it or some other thing. So if at the end of the day it's a guy's tipping pitches and Rizzo picks up on it and can let you know that. But also beyond that, you know, it was also the catcher. So I don't know if we, you know, we'll ever get the full story, but like the catcher was just setting up way too early and it made it easier to tell if a pitch is inside or outside.
Yeah, there's so many reasons the cheating thing is ridiculous. First, this is the thing nobody's talking about. It's not even our stadium. The fact that people are saying, oh, they have a camera set up. What do you think? We went in the offseason, hit a camera, the opposing team stadium, so that when we got there and turn it on. So that's the number one thing. Number two is the Blue Jays use PitchCom pretty much exclusively. So as you alluded to, they were looking at where they were setting up. And the third point is, even if they were tipping pitches, that's completely legal. The Jays were reaching. So, I mean, it was just such an embarrassing reach to try to say that he was cheating. And all of a sudden you have like Astros people coming out saying, see, it adds fuel to the fire. But I mean, that the home run that Judge hit Tuesday night was such a just fuck you. The one that in the game that Herman got ejected, the one that went off the leaf. I mean, that was just such a statement. And he kind of pimped it a little, which he never does.
Made it look easy.
Yeah, took his time around the bases. Like, we need more of that. We needed some fuck you, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the fuck you's nice. I care about the wins more, but it was there is a certain swagger you need to carry you through a season and to be a successful team. And this team has lacked it. This organization has lacked it. And, you know, as long as it doesn't become a distraction, you know, then, yeah, let's keep going. Let's, you know, be a little cocky when you do something right. But let's make sure we're doing the right things first.
Of course. But it is nice. I mean, we've talked about this. We'll go back and forth shit talking with the Astros and then get walked off. Or we'll go back and forth during a game shit talking with the Red Sox and get walked off. Like, it was nice to do shit talking and be on the winning side for once.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, It was a great series. It was a great week. You know, a week ago, if we said, hey, when we get back together on Sunday, we're going to have gone 6-1. No shot.
Would have laughed at you.
Yeah. And, you know, there have been times where we've tried to give the games away. You know, we're not going out in a dominating fashion. But I also think at the same time, you know, if you win every game 15-2, eventually someone's going to find a hole in that. So we are winning competitive games. I wish we could hold on to leads a little better. We didn't need as much. You know, I think I tweeted the other day, you know, if someone just hits multiple home runs, we're a pretty unstoppable team.
That seems to be the formula. Just going back to the Tuesday game, and you talked about the bullpen, Herman obviously gets tossed. And just obviously, Herman is cheating. Like, let's take the rose-colored glasses off. He uses pine tar. He uses sticky tack. He's just too fucking stupid to hide it. And the bullpen has to basically spin six shutout innings. They do. My concern is that, I mean, Peralta, Holmes, King, these guys are pretty much pitching every day. And at some point, they're going to wear down.
Yeah, I mean, what was it, 2017, when you got, you know, Chad Green opening games to decide the season in the ALCS? Like, that's where you end up with this. So whether it's, you know, Seve coming back and, you know, he gave us 4 2/3 today and, you know, getting that stretched out to 6-7. Cole continuing to do things. Nestor figuring things out. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about Rodon at some point, but we do need some depth in our starts to give these guys, because it's not just a matter of like, well, you know, we've had a lot of bullpen innings this week. You know, we've had a lot of bullpen innings this season, and that adds up quickly. And there are only so many bullets that a guy has. So, you know, within the course of a season, and we're using them all up in April and May.
We really are. And again, with no Canley, no Loaisiga, it just adds more pressure to these guys. And they Problem is they don't have a true closer. A true closer is a guy that comes in and gets strikeouts. You don't want – like Clay Holmes is a – he's a weak contact ground ball guy. And how many times have we seen over the years those chopping hits that become infield hits and Glaber throws it into center field? In the ninth inning, you want strikeouts. And Peralta's great. He's got ice in his veins. He's not a strikeout guy. Clay's not a strikeout guy. They don't really have a real candidate where you're like, oh, that's a closer.
No, I mean, I said going into the season that it was a weird year as a Yankee fan because, like, we don't just have that closer. There is no big name at the back end of the bullpen. There's no big name in the bullpen. Like, you know, if you think about it, like, there was a point where we had Dellin, who is one of the best relievers in baseball, who could have been a closer on pretty much any other team. We had Andrew Miller and we had Rodless Chapman. Like, we had three all-star closers at the same time. We had Chapman and Britton all-star closer. Now we've kind of got no one, and no one's, you know, I mean, Peralta's been, you know, good this season in general, but like you said, you want someone who's not going to let them put the ball in play. And we just don't have that guy. And whether it's someone steps up and takes that role, or we make an acquisition. You know, if someone's trying to sell a closer later in the year, maybe that's something that happens. But yeah, the bullpen's definitely a concern. And at some point, the bullpen will figure it out and the rotation will suck. And then once the rotation figures it all out, then the offense will suck. And that's why we're all stupid for liking a sport with 162 regular season games.
Really? Really are stupid. Think about it. Think about how easy it is to be like a diehard football fan. 16 Sundays. You're always off to, you know, 4 o'clock on a Sunday. You're never doing anything. Commitment level's a joke. People are like, I'm a diehard football fan. So what? What effort does that take?
You complain about the occasional Thursday night game.
Yeah.
We got a Thursday night game this year. Or, oh, we're playing in London. Can you believe my football's on at 10 a.m.? Like, yeah, that sounds fucking great. Like, this 11:30 game, like, I'm so happy to be done with baseball for the day.
I love the timing of it. Peacock just sucked for me. Kept buffering. I was having all sorts of.
How did you end up getting into Peacock?
So my parents have it, so I use their.
Okay.
But it wouldn't work on my Xbox. I tried doing it on the computer, and like I had to do the thing where I put it on the laptop and then put the HDMI.
Old school
buffering, man. It was a battle. Love the timing. I love the 11:30 start, especially with a kid now, but could do with it back on MLB TV, man. I think it's the principle of like, we get MLB TV so that we can get every game, and we just don't get every game. Like, it's just kind of annoying.
Yeah, we get MLB TV because we don't live in the region, so we're willing to pay for all the games, but then like, you're selling off chunks of games and the price is not going down for what I'm paying. Like, you know, if I was if 4 years ago I was getting 81 games, the price has only gone up since then and I'm only getting, you know, 70 or whatever it is.
And we still need, like, I still have cable because when the Yankees are on Fox or ESPN or TNT or TBS or any of that other bullshit, you still need a cable subscription to watch those channels. So I'm paying for cable and MLB TV, and then you're still dealing with this garbage.
Yeah, I do YouTube TV. And okay. I know Yes is out there as like, you know, you can just get Yes for like as its own app. And I forget what the price is.
Only in market.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but even then, like the price I thought was too high. Like, how many fucking Yankeeographies am I gonna watch?
It's like 25 a month or something.
Yeah, it feels like a lot.
Yeah,
feels like a lot for like how many times am I going to watch Larry David on Center Stage with Michael K?
Yeah, no, but I mean, look, this was again. I said you made fun of me for saying great twice. This was an incredible week, and I think it's just, man, again, like shutting up Manoah and shutting up Vlad and the Yankees tweeting out, man, those Drake lyrics. It just felt so good to just shut them up. And we don't see the Blue Jays again until September 19th. That's the other reason that was so big, is we're not going to see them for 4 months. I mean, you had to get your licks in.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to just like watch kind of how this season develops, because we do have, you know, we have games in that we're going to play the Orioles, but even though they're ahead of us right now, we, you know, they're fucking irrelevant. They're the Orioles. We've got a, you know, Red Sox games coming up in June.
Yes,
but
yes.
To a certain, like, there's no juice there.
No.
Like, yeah, so, like, there's as much juice for those games, probably less for those games than the Dodgers games the first weekend of June. Because the Dodgers are a playoff team that we might have to, you know, you want to play, you know, see how you stack up against good teams.
Do a quick juice check. And this isn't just for me or you. Let's just do the fan base as a whole. Here's how I would rank the juice. I think the Astros are still one. Then yeah. I think Toronto.
Yep.
Then Tampa. Boston fourth?
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, and like the only reason the Rays are third and not second is because the Blue Jays talk shit.
Yes.
Like
yes.
That's a straight shit talk thing. Like in terms of like which games matter the most or have mattered the most over the like past couple of years, it's the Rays.
I think the Rays talk an appropriate amount of shit for how good they are. Like Kevin Cash will get his digs in. A Rosarena will shit talk a little bit, but they're great and they back it up. The Blue Jays just kind of talk constantly.
Well, I think so many of the Rays, you know, obviously Cash isn't going anywhere. Rosarena's not going anywhere, but so many of them probably don't talk shit because, you know, who knows where they're going to end up
right,
next month.
Yeah. And they've lost two stud pitchers, Rossman and I forget the other guy's name, but basically their number two and their number threes behind McClanahan are both out for at least 2-3 months. And I think we're only creeping up 6.5 back of the Rays. We don't see them again.
Isn't Glasnow on a rehab assignment, though?
He's on a rehab assignment and got pulled from it with another setback.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah. He's been out, it seems like, for like 3 years.
Yeah, he has been. He's been struggling. He's a handsome guy.
He is.
He is. It's a guy, it's like, well, what are you, fucking 6'6", handsome and rich? Get fucked.
And throw 102.
Yeah.
It's like God gave this guy everything.
During the series with the Blue Jays, one thing that I noticed is like, Kay did say his name like as it went on, but the beginning of that series, he just kept saying, the Blue Jays manager, Blue Jays manager, like he's a nobody. Like he's a fucking nobody. Doesn't matter. No one cares about you. You're getting your cup of coffee here in the bigs.
He was disrespecting him, and he was so fired up after they won the game that Herman got ejected. Like he had some sort of line. I don't want to misquote him, but all the unfounded noise made by the Blue Jays at our slugger Aaron Judge. Like Michael Kay took that shit personally. He's a yes guy, diehard company guy, been with the organization for 25 years. Like he took that personally.
So I don't think Michael Kay is a diehard company guy.
Interesting.
I think Michael Kay is bigger than the Yes Network.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things where, like, hey, it was a great opportunity for him when he got it, you know, moving over from radio. But he's the voice of the Yankees. If, let's say, Yes disappeared and they moved to, like, having all their local games on MSG like they used to, or even on, like, you know, Channel 11, those places would go after Kay. Like, Kay is the voice of the Yankees. So, and I think he knows that. I think the success of his radio show, and, you know, part of that is Francesa leaving and stuff, he doesn't give a fuck. And he's also, like, he's a dude from the Bronx. He wants a World Series as much as you and I want a World Series. It's not extra games for him. It's not extra money for him. Like, there's nothing – like, the playoffs for Michael Kay is just fandom.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But, yeah, I wasn't even – and I wasn't even going for the, oh, he's a company guy for how. I was just going for as, like, a diehard Yankee guy. Like, he took it personally.
But, I think he's a Yankee. We're seeing more and more – of him as like just an old school New York Yankee fan than the professional broadcaster that he also is. Because he criticizes the team more than anyone else in the media. Most of it's happening on ESPN. He criticizes the team some during the actual games, you know, especially as the season drags on. So I think we're just seeing like the realness of a Yankee fan who wants to win a World Series the same way we do. And he, you know, and it's not personal Yes, he took it personal, but I don't think he took it personal as like, that's a team I cover for work. He took it personal as like, I'm a fucking New Yorker and those are the Yankees. And so you can get fucked.
Okay. Yeah. No, I do have a couple of things with not to nitpick him, but when I do wish he'd call out when like Glaber and Donaldson pimp the balls off the wall. And he doesn't really call that. Like, there are things I can nitpick, but overall, I do like K. I'd say Michael K as an announcer, I'm like an 8 out of 10. Like, I do enjoy him. I'm definitely – there's just a couple of things that bother me from time to time. But overall, I definitely enjoy him.
Yeah, I think he is I really like him. I think he's gotten, like, better over the years.
Yes.
I think he's not that full of – I think he came across as more full of himself early on in his broadcast career. And a lot of that's gone away. But like, it does feel like one of us out there, like he's repping Yankee fans. Well,
he is. And this race series just kind of handled business. You're going to get with this balanced schedule, you're going to get a guaranteed amount of cupcakes. The A's were 3 cupcakes, the Reds 3 cupcakes. We'll get the Nationals. We'll get the Pirates, more cupcakes on the way for dessert, but you got to eat them. And the Yankees ate all 3 of the cupcakes that were in front of them. And that goes a long way towards getting those 95 wins. It's just handling business against the losers.
Yeah. You gotta it's easy to lose focus on what we're, I have a guy slacking me. It's a Sunday.
Dude,
why is someone slacking me?
That's savage, man.
Asking me about like what hotel where I'm staying at in 2 weeks.
I could see your face as something.
I'm just
something
like,
was
what
up.
The fuck is going on? I don't even remember what we were talking about. I was so thrown off by
I
it.
Think you were gonna say like, oh, this could have been a letdown series coming off of the Jays. Like this would have been
I think we all get caught up in the playoff teams. You know, the Astros. We gotta beat the Astros, but like. You only play the Astros 7 times. You only play the Blue Jays now like 13 times. You've got to capitalize on these other games. And there's going to be times when the schedule's really hard, which in theory, we just went through a really hard schedule.
Exactly.
Playing the Blue Jays, playing the Rays twice. At one point earlier in the season, I think the Reds were playing like decently. They stink now. So you got to capitalize on that. And Oakland, and then get ready for in the standings, they're better than us. But like, I don't think the Orioles are a team that's better than us. And I think it's easy to take 2 or 3 from there and then ramp up for like a struggling Padres team. Like you wouldn't think at the beginning of the season, the Padres would be 5-6 games under 500 in late May, but they are.
No, and we're getting the Padres at a good time, and I'll be there Saturday, May 27th for $75. You get a ticket in section 205 pregame at the dugout. It starts at 10:30. And look, let me plead to some listeners out there just for something. I am a guy that full honesty, full transparency. I'm not a guy that would just show up to an event by myself like that and just show up without any friends or anything. I probably wouldn't be comfortable doing it. If you are somebody that's like, oh, this sounds fun, but I don't have anybody to go with and I don't really want to go alone, just go and start talking to people. It is the least clickiest environment. If you like the Yankees and you enjoy having a few beers, you will find people to talk with. It is a ton of fun. And I know you always have the thing like, oh, you go with one person, it's fun. You go with 2 people, it's more fun. Like going with 25, 30, 35, or however many we have coming out, it's even more fun.
So on that note, the latest weather for that day where I live is 67 and raining. I have not looked to see what is in the Bronx, but if it looks like it's going to be a washout of a day, you never know who might pop up at the stadium. You never know who you might see. You never know.
You're saying you're more likely to come if it's raining. That's your...
I'm saying if it's raining here, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to – I don't – like the barbecue we're supposed to go to
is
not
right.
happening.
Okay. Interesting. I thought you were like trying to downplay, like de-promote the event by saying it was going to rain. I'm like, what the hell?
No. I'm saying you never know. Never know. Like I'm on a plane tomorrow morning to Arizona. I'm on a plane Thursday morning back. I land late in the afternoon. I'm supposed to be off Friday. I got to go pick up me. I got to do some things. They're supposed to have people over Sunday. You know, if I'm ahead of my tasks and my other activities are canceled, you never know. You never know who you're going to see when you go to the big city.
Even more reason to come out. But now it's going to be a big – even though they're – the Padres are struggling, it's still Soto, Bogarts, Machado, and Tatis. Like, I'm never taking that team lightly. I don't care what their record is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one where you could easily lose two of three or, you know, because you just overlook a team that's full of all-stars that maybe competitive later in the season. They're trying to, like, figure out their – you know, who they are as a team. Tatis has been back for a little bit now. So I don't you can't look past them at all.
And I don't know, obviously the going coast to coast is hard. I don't know if the Padres, if we're like the start of their East Coast trip or the end of it, if they're on the East Coast this week, maybe playing the Mets or the Phillies or something. But it might even be an advantage if we're that first leg of it.
They're going to be with the Nationals. They've had the Red Sox this weekend, and then they fly to Washington.
All right. So, well, hey, the end's not bad either. They've been out here for a while. Maybe they're looking ahead, looking to fly back after this 10-day.
I mean, they're staying to play the Marlins.
Geez, so that's.
So just spin it for one more. Maybe you get them in the middle. They're not paying attention.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Everyone There's an thinks angle about here. The bread in the sandwich. No one thinks about the meat in the middle.
Dang. That's a long trip. Jesus, four teams? We never do that.
No. The Red Sox are in San Diego.
Okay.
D.C., New York, Miami.
Okay, that makes more sense. I thought you meant like they were in Boston first.
No. Yeah, no, that would be a lot.
Who is going to pitch Friday? So they sent Brito down yesterday.
They're probably bringing him back.
Oh, they're going to bring him back.
Yeah, that's just like a clearing a roster spot.
But they did that for Seve. So who would they send down to have Brito start? Like one of those outfielders? Oh, okay.
Yeah, some reliever and outfielder. I mean, you see where the arms are. And one of those things, like whoever they send down doesn't even leave. Brito comes up, makes a start, goes back.
Okay. Because I was wondering if they were going to do like a bullpen game instead of Brito. And that's why they sent him down. But if you're saying they can just pop him back up, then that would make sense.
Well, because he's got to go down for 10 days, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know
these rules that well.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I think it's too early in the season to have bullpen games.
Me too. It would be because I think it's this Orioles series is going to go Cole, Nestor, Clark, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday would be Brito's day.
Hmm.
And then it would be Severino on Saturday unless they do Seve Friday and then they try to do a bullpen game on Saturday.
This is a tough one. Because, yeah, I think they did. When did he get sent down? I don't think it'll be 10 days. And I think you got to go 10 days now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who it's going to be then. Hopefully not a bullpen game. Maybe they'll call someone else up for the spot start.
And remember, this all stems from the Herman ejection because they Herman suspended and you can't replace him. So they're playing with 25 for the next, I guess they're halfway through a suspension.
Yeah.
10 days.
Yeah. And I mean, I think like you said, you know, it's pretty clear, like these guys are. The players have said, like, we need something so that we don't lose the ball, so it doesn't slip away, which makes sense. And it's clear that some guys are doing too much stuff. I think, like, Scherzer ran into it. You know, there's been a couple of guys. Even they made Schmidt wash his hands the other day.
Yeah.
So, and I get the frustration on the player and manager side because it's just like, There is no this is too sticky, this is fine. Like there's no rule. It's a judgment call. And I don't know that, like, I wouldn't say that Herman or Scherzer are like out there like trying to cheat to like gain an advantage. I like to be like, oh, I'm going to do this and this is going to get my RPMs up. But I think it's more of just like, I'm going to do this so I can grip the ball and be comfortable executing my pitches. And I think the league just has to figure something out, like spray all the balls down. There's been talk about investing every stadium, getting, you know, these machines and make it uniform. I think it would solve a lot of these problems, because it's just another case. Like, when something comes up like this, where it's like it's the umpire show again.
I agree with you that it should be a little bit less subjective, but I disagree. I mean, Herman, he'd been warned once. There was clearly pine tar on his pants. Like, he was clearly knowingly breaking the rule. It wasn't just rosin. They showed the pine tar on his pants. I'm pretty sure he had pine tar the other time that he got warned and had to wash his hands. And my frustration with him is, like, you've already been warned once. Like, you have to have your guard up. I guess he thought he could keep just kind of skating by and nobody would notice. And look, it did hurt the team, and you can't draw a complete conclusion, but pretty much the reason Ian Hamilton got injured, he came in, he had to rush his warm up and he pulled his groin. Like, there are residual effects from that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. For pitchers, it's 15 days that they've got to stay down.
All right. So it won't be Brito.
Yeah.
I don't really know what their plan is.
I mean, we're in a tough spot. I like the idea that if a guy's thrown out for that, it's an automatic suspension. It's a set number of days, and that the team has to play short.
It is a good rule. I just wish it wasn't happening to us.
Yeah. I wish Domingo Herman was smarter, but I do like you do this thing, which, yes, there is judgment in deciding whether you've done it or not, which makes it tough. But if found guilty of this thing, this is the sentence. We're not going to reduce it. And then, like, here's how it impacts your entire team and organization. I like that.
No, I did too.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you notice anything waking up today? Different?
Like in the world?
Yeah, to me, the air was fresher. The sun was shining.
Oh, we're going to go.
I heard birds chirping, and I woke up and I was like, wow, Aaron Hicks is no longer a Yankee. And it was one of the most refreshing feelings I've ever had.
So, you know how, like, I'll come into the show. And so I hate to call it a bit, but I'll have a bit that I've decided to do, you know, and like sometimes the bit takes over as I like get deeper into it, like trading Aaron Judge. I had earlier, because when we released him on
Saturday.
Yeah. Earlier in the day, Saturday, I was doing player comparisons between Aaron Hicks's season and A-Rod when we released him. And that was going to be my thing. I was coming into this show and I was going to talk about, like, at what point do we realistically start comparing, like, A-Rod played in 65 games. He had 9 home runs. This guy's played in 15. He's got 1 home run. He's batting 198. A-Rod was at least batting 200. Da-da-da-da-da. And the Yankees shocked me and took that from me.
So shocking, because Cash and Hal did their two things that they hate doing the most. Brian Cashman, there's one thing he hates doing the most. It's admitting that he was wrong, admitting failure.
Has he ever done that? Has he done that, though? Did he say, like, it didn't work out, we shouldn't give him the deal?
Oh, no, he won't. But through his action, through their actions, he admitted failure. And Hal did his least favorite thing, which was eat dead money. And to see that happen on the same day was just a beautiful thing. And look, there's the phrase addition by subtraction. We all know what it means. He was a toxic presence. He complained all the time. He sucked at baseball, lackadaisical effort. Got to a point where he wasn't even acknowledging the bleacher creatures. It was just a bad fucking situation. And it is addition by subtraction.
I'll tell you what, though. If you were like, hey, Aaron Hicks is going to get DFA'd this year, I didn't think it was going to be for Greg Allen in Cincinnati. Just did not have that on my bingo card at all. Like, on a random Saturday, like, I don't think Hicks was worrying about it. Like, I'm sure there are times when Hicks was like, fuck, man, are they going to DFA me? Like, they said Donaldson started a rehab assignment. Like, is this it? Do I have 4 to 6 appearances at Somerset between me and being released? And then, boom. Greg Allen. Did not see it coming.
Big triple on Sunday for Allen.
I mean, it meant nothing, but yeah. Yeah, he hit a 2-out triple.
Triples are exciting at any point. And the thing with Hicks, I thought they were just going to find a team and trade him and money.
Think they still could.
Yeah.
If they are like, if some team is like, well, we'll give you something. We'll give you anything. And we'll pay the league minimum versus they have to get in line. But I don't think there's a line of suitors to pick up Aaron Hicks.
No.
Minimum.
No, it's everything that you want, right? Because we used to complain, oh, they're just playing him because of his contract. Let's play the guys on merit and not because whose dad's the coach. You always do the kid that plays shortstop because his dad's a coach. Like, get that shit out of here. That's for Little League. That's not for fucking Major League Baseball. And the Yankees, it's
great.
That kid
died last week.
Damn, really?
The real kid. Like, damn. The person I think of when I say it, he died last week.
That's a somber turn.
Yeah, we shouldn't laugh. But it is funny. I didn't make that connection until you just said that. I was like, oh, damn. Yeah, he died. Fentanyl. Don't do drugs.
Hicks is gone.
Hicks is gone, and it's like, it's great, because here's the thing. Like you said, it's addition by subtraction. The team didn't get dramatically better. It's not like we traded shitty Hicks for Barry Bonds, but it's just like, it's a thing that happened that we all knew had to happen. Everyone knew had to happen. Everyone knew with the brain. And it's almost like, I don't know, when you put something off. So like, I got an extension on my taxes because, like, I went to my accountant too late. And now it's up to me to follow up with him so I can file my taxes. And I haven't done that. And I need to do that. And I keep putting it off. And I know that when I do it, it's going to take me 10 minutes. But I just keep putting it off. We do these with tasks all the time. And that's what Aaron Hicks became. And like, all right, it's done. It wasn't that hard.
Really wasn't. And now, they have guys, I think Bauer's showing that he can play every day at a semi-competent level. Helped. Obviously, you had Allen. They have Calhoun and all these guys. So, yeah, he's gone. It's going to be nice. I was at the point where I was just bored of ripping on him and try. It's like it was just it became to a point where we were all piling on.
It hit a point. It was like with Joey Gallo last year, where it just hit a point where it's like, all right, now we're just being mean, or like, the guy's packing his shit anyway. What do you think if you're Aaron Hicks, right, and you just get DFA'd in Cincinnati, right? So like, you're in a gate, you're there Friday. I forget, did he play on Friday?
It's a good question.
I'm pulling up the box score, but like, you're packed for a road trip. You're and this is the end of it. Now you get DFA'd in Cincinnati. obviously, yeah, Hicks did play on Friday. He got pinch hit for by DJ LeMahieu.
That was it.
In the seventh. What, like, I mean, where do you go? I guess you're just like, yeah, get me on the first class.
He's Arizona. He lives in Arizona, right? I think he's in Arizona.
Yeah, right? I think he lives in Arizona. He's from, like, you know, Southern California. Like, yeah. him, Higgy, and Cole all played together when they were kids.
Yeah, I think he's on the first flight back to Arizona, and he's just like, I wouldn't surprise me if he tries to get into golf. Like, do you think, like, if you were him, and
I don't think his career is over.
Dude, hitting 180 with no athleticism left, very little power. You think somebody's going to want him?
I mean,
it's not like he's a guy that boosts morale. It's not like, oh,
you get him for the major league minimum.
And you're going to get minimum production. I don't know, man. He's what, 33? What is the upside in a team bringing him in?
33. He's got $10.5 million this year, $9.5 million next year, $9.5 million the year in 2025. There's a club option for $12.5 million in 2026. Maybe we take that. And $1 million buyout for that. So he's got the rest of this year, and then he's going to make another he's got another $20 million coming his way. 9.5, 9.5, and then that $1 million buyout. And also, here's the thing that I didn't realize. If he gets traded, $1 million bonus. So, like, so now I don't think, now that we've DFA'd him, I don't think we trade him, because we would have to pay $1 million to trade him as well.
And they don't want to give him any more money. And again, a contract that we didn't know each other at the time, but I was always against it. To me, it never made sense. He had one good year in 2018, and Cashman immediately goes, yes, 7 years, sign me up. That there was nobody else lined up looking for him. That's why the 7 year commitment never made sense to me.
I didn't hate it. 7 years is a lot, but again, I said when he signed that contract, we'll be able to walk away from it.
If they did.
Yeah. Like, if the, you know, you can, it's an amount of money that you can walk away from. So he's going to finish this contract having made $63 million. Cause I don't think it was a clean 70, cause he only made $6 million in 2019. But yeah, no, he's going to make, yeah, a lot of fucking money.
It's disappointing. And me and you used to, like, make fun of the people that did, like, the Didi farewells and the, like, I miss Didi and what tributes. I was seeing some Hicks stuff, like, oh, what a great Yankee. He had 8 great years here. The guy had one good season out of 8. One. What are we farewelling for?
I saw, like, oh, when he comes back in another uniform, we need to cheer for him. No, dude, he's lucky I don't hit him with my car. Like, that's where we're at with Aaron Hicks.
He did have one sick moment, the home run off Verlander. We were both at that game, I think.
Yeah, he was supposed to, but we told him to shut it down and go home.
Yeah.
And he showed up to be like, no, I'll take someone's fucking spot on this playoff roster. And he didn't do much. He hit that home run. Great.
And that was it.
Yeah. He's made $50 million so far. He's going to make $70-something million in his career. Good for him. Yeah, I don't think he's done, though.
You think he gets another job? Okay.
I mean, I don't know of, like, I haven't looked up possible landing spots for him or thought, like, too much of it. Part of it is, like, if some team goes, like, hey, we want you, you got to go to AAA for, like, 2 weeks and play every day. Like, you haven't been playing a lot. You got to play every day. Like, does he take that?
I think he has way too much pride. But staying in the center field or outfield category, Harrison Bader is a fucking joy to watch. The way that he plays the outfield and just sprints to the spot that the ball is going to land and is just waiting for it. And the way he throws the ball in, I just love watching him move around in the outfield. It's like he's like an artist out there, man. It's amazing.
My biggest concern for Harrison Bader is all the people around him that are not outfielders. Because like we saw it today again with IKF, with them like right next to each other.
Yes.
Like he is a guy who he's excited to be out there. He could fly. And I worry about either an injury, like he almost had a head injury a couple weeks ago, or like when you've got a guy like that, to a certain extent, he's got to be able to go out there and fly and not think about the other guys, to know the other guys are going to know how to play the outfield and get out of his way.
No, you're 100% right. And especially when you have an infielder in IKF who's playing left field, that IKF has to defer on everything, man. Like everything. Yeah. This is the second time he did it. And anybody that ever played 3 minutes of baseball knows anything the center fielder can get to, it's his. IKF has crossed that twice. But we also saw Bader have a communication issue with Judge in that playoff game where we were at, where they were both calling for it. He called off Judge at the last second, and then I think he was the one that dropped it. So they do have some major communication issues in the outfield. But again, so many moving parts. You had Judge in center. Now he's back in right. You got IKF out and left. Oswaldo's played fucking all 15 different positions.
Yeah, and that's why I just think like my biggest concern when it comes to Harrison Bader is someone hurting him because they don't know what they're doing. But yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's got maybe a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because he's a younger guy. I'm sure he's online. He reads. He knows that there are people like us who are like, we traded for a guy in a fucking boot. And he came and he was healthy for a little bit and he missed the beginning of the season and the season's falling apart. And I don't know, like, if he made specific adjustments or whatever, but he's, you know, he's playing great.
And I don't have it in front of me, but I mean, their record without him, I think, was around 500, and their record with him is at least 7 or 8 games over. I mean, it's a clear difference. And Judge did play a valiant center field, but Bader just has a different energy out there. Every ball, especially that Blue Jays series, when they're hitting line drives and you're like, oh shit, off the bat, and he's just standing there waiting for it. It's such a calming presence.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's nice to not have to worry about it. You know, he stayed hot. Volpe stayed hot. You know, that, you know, he's delivered in key areas.
He has, and I'm on his baseball reference page. So it says he has 3 home runs. I don't know if that's including Sunday's home run. I think he might have
7 home runs on the season. Volpe has 7 home runs.
I'm talking about Bader, sorry.
Oh, Bader. Yeah.
I'm seeing 3, but he hit 1 today, and I don't know if they're
that doesn't include it.
So he's got 4. So that's 4 home runs in basically 2 weeks that he's been back. So the power that we saw in the postseason looks to maybe be real. It's hitting 280.
Yeah, like I don't know if he is a, you know, I don't think he's like a 40 home run guy. I think it probably comes in bunches. But yeah, while he's hot, play it hot. The issue is like he's batting 277 now. He was batting 300 when we talked a week ago. And I know it's easy to go down when you're not getting hits, but at the same time, Volpe has had, you know, some key hits here and there, added a double for an RBI. But he's only now he's batting 212 down from 218.
Yeah, let's talk a little Volpe. So Volpe is having kind of a weird season. Like, defensive metrics are really strong. He's got a positive outs above average, a positive defensive run saved. I think he's like 4th or 5th amongst all shortstops defensively, which is great. Stolen bases, he's 13 for 13 or 14 for 14, whatever, has been great. OBP is under 300, 299, batting 211. He does have the 7 home runs, and most of them have come in big spots. He does have some game-tying hits. To me, it's just almost too early to make a judgment yet on this season.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's going to be a rookie of the year contender. I'd like if they didn't have to wait till the All-Star break to figure out, but like something's got to be done to cut down on the strikeouts. He's got 58 strikeouts. He leads the team in strikeouts. That's Aaron Judge's job.
And one of the announcers, I forget if it was Peacock or Yes, was talking about how issue with Volpe is when his front shoulder flies open. And that's a very common thing in baseball, especially amongst younger players. So you'd think that's something that would be correctable.
Yeah. I think he's just trying to, like, the ball's coming in faster. It moves more than it ever has. And he's trying to get ahead of that. And sometimes you lose it. But it does seem like when it's a big moment, it's almost like things slow down for him. So he's got to find a way to, and like I said, it's table setting. So it is like, is he trying to hit a 5-run home run with no one on base?
Little bit. The home run that he made, or that he hit off the foul pole against Toronto, that was a rocket on Thursday.
Yep. Yeah, that was a line drive. Yeah. So, like, I think the kid's got it. Like, defensively, everything's comfortable. Big moments, things are comfortable. It's the rest of the time where it's, you know, whatever. It's a 4-2 game, and you're up in the sixth inning to lead off. Like, we need you to get on base. Because we need that to be 6-2 pretty quickly.
Just some more hits. I mean, get that 211 up to 250 and get that 299 OBP up to like 330. You know what I mean? Like nothing crazy, just a little more offense.
Yeah, like I'd like to see, like, I don't think he's going to really have the opportunity, like, where he hits to work the count as much.
No.
You know, he's not going to be a huge walks guy, but it's the swing and the miss, and we've seen, I mean, they said it on the game today, like, put the ball in play for a reason. We had that ball hit second base today.
He did, yes. Another infielder. And I've been bagging on him a lot, but it's just he keeps giving me a reason to. It's Gleyber Torres. In the, I think it was the Tuesday Blue Jays game, he had two outs on the bases and two errors, which is basically four errors.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, he hit the home run today. He does have six home runs. He gives you the occasional
pop. He's
got
seven now. That was his seventh.
That was the seventh. Man, Baseball Reference is making me look bad here. He's got those occasional pops don't outweigh the constant mental breakdowns and lapses in concentration.
Yeah, I don't pay as much attention to baseball as a whole as I used to. Did you know that Cincinnati was pretty much Coors Field?
I knew it was a hitter's park. I didn't know it was number one.
I knew it was a hitter's park. But yeah, like some of them, like that was a flick of the wrist to get that out. Some of these home runs, it was just like, what? That's going to go?
And Bader's today, too.
Yeah. So, you know, I think more and more people are talking about, especially now that Peraza is back in AAA and he's performing, and he's performing well, that it's like, well, we do have this possible trade piece. Like someone's got to go. And one of them's going to ask for a big contract in the next 2.5 years. So I think a Gleyber trade really makes a lot of sense for the Yankees. I don't know that people are dying to get him, but seven home runs, 253. He's tried to be more athletic this year. He's got five stolen bases, but he's got caught four times. Like, it's getting thrown out on the fucking base path when you don't matter that much. That's a huge issue.
It is. And again, the mental stuff. I mean, when he throwing to the wrong base, like very, very elementary level stuff that he does.
There was a ball today, like maybe like the sixth inning, he was charging and threw like across his body and it was fine. But like I had a heart attack.
Yeah, you just can't trust him. You just can't trust him. You have to hope. We need to hope that he goes on like one of his 3-week tears from July 8th to July 29th, and the Yankees can get good value for him. I mean, that should be the end goal to me. And I texted you this week. I wouldn't mind with how bad he's been mentally. I wouldn't mind a couple days a week letting IKF play third and letting DJ play second and put Gleyber on the bench. IKF he's hit two home runs. He's going to hustle. He's going to run the bases. You know the effort's going to be there every single time. So the floor is almost higher.
Yeah, I mean, IKF plays like he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year and he needs another contract, and Gleyber plays like he's going to be a free agent in a year and a half and needs that big contract then and needs to still be around then.
I thought you were going to say plays like he just got the big contract. Either one.
No, I mean, like he does. If Gleyber doesn't strike you as a guy, because next year is the last year on his contract.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's going to hit 40 home runs next year. Like, guaranteed. Guaranteed he's going to put. And then he'll play second base in a folding chair like Robinson Cano did.
Yeah, yeah. My dad calls Gleyber Cano with half the talent. It's just like, because they're both, like, you know, it's like.
Yeah, and he's just like we've said all along, He is a like one game to the next. Like one game he'll be great, the next he'll be terrible.
Yeah, we got to hope. We really have to hope that they get some value for him. And like you said, Peraza is healthy in AAA. Going to make that more of a conversation. And look, the fact that they DFA'd Hicks, it does give you hope that they'll eventually do the right thing and just play the best people. We got a big – this Orioles series, like when you looked in the schedule in March, you're like, oh, Orioles in May during the week, whatever. This is a pretty big series.
Yeah, it went from just the like – like you said, of like, oh, that'll be a night. Like, I wouldn't even think about that series when I first went through.
No.
Like, oh, great. Good thing they have that on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so they're not wasting a weekend series in the Bronx on these guys, is exactly what I would have thought. And now it's a substantial series. And they did not see that coming. Again, I don't think the Orioles are for real. I get it. They're young. They're exciting. They've got a good core, a good farm system. It's not for this year. So, and this would be a good, you know, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. It's probably a good time to punch these guys in the mouth.
It would be great. It would be great. We're 2.5 back of them now. They're playing at Toronto, so it could be 3, could be 2 by the time
2-1 in the bottom of the 6th.
Wow, they're gonna sweep. That'd be awesome if they sweep the Blue Jays. I kind of like seeing the Blue Jays get punched in the mouth. But we have Cole, Nestor, and Clark. You got to grab 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've got to hope Cole's Tuesday, right?
Yeah, and then Nestor.
So you win Tuesday. Hope Nestor's himself. It makes Thursday a lot easier. You're probably going to see a punt lineup out of fucking Boone because guys just had the day off on Monday, so probably give everyone a day off on Thursday. It's been a tough 2 days. But yeah, I mean, it's another series where this is a series where the team that we're playing is ahead of us in the standings and we are trying to sweep them. Like, yeah, we're trying to sweep every series, but like it's in play. Cause if you can get 2 and then it's like, well, who knows? Maybe we could just fucking hit 7 home runs on Thursday.
Yeah, no, that would have to be the move. And it's funny how, and I do this the same thing. Like I just pencil in the Cole games as wins and the Clark games as losses. But like perfect example, this Blue Jays series, they played 4 games. The only game they lost was the Cole game. So we do this. And like I said, I do this too. I don't really know how these games are going to go. Nestor has been, he was better last time, but has not been 2021 or 2022 Nestor. Have no idea what's going to happen there. And you mentioned the punt lineup. Just real quick, I loved giving Judge a day today.
Yeah.
Peacock game, Sunday, on the road with an off day the next day. Like, that is the game that you do it against a National League team. You don't do it against a divisional team. You don't do it against an American League team. You're going to give Judge a load management day. You do it against the fucking Reds or the Pirates or whoever. I loved it.
Especially with, like, a weird start time.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just a matter – like, because, again, who knows – 11:30 game. When do they have to be at the stadium? 8 a.m. 8:30.
Boone's pretty lax. I'm sure he probably let him push it to 9 or so.
Okay, so maybe 9. Hey, Aaron, 10:30. Sleep in, big fella. He probably doesn't take you up on it, but you give him the option. Like, you don't have to set the alarm.
And with three Oriole games coming up, and it does make sense. I like how they do the double off day. You're giving him a 2-day. Giving him a 2-day break. No, I really like that. So I'm going Thursday and Saturday this week. And I'm a little bit bummed because it looks like I'm going to get Clark in a bullpen game. But I've been really spoiled.
What are you doing on Thursday?
So Thursday, it's funny you mentioned that. So Thursday, they're playing the Orioles, and I have a buddy. It's an Orioles fan, never been to Yankee Stadium. We looked at the schedule a while back, and it's like, oh, Thursday before a holiday weekend, like – work's going to be a joke the next day. You know what I mean? Like, good game to go to. And it just sucks that it lines up for Clark Schmidt. But, dude, I didn't realize. So I'm so used to going on Fridays and Saturdays. Dude, I got tickets, like, row 2 of the 200 level for, like, $20 on Thursday.
Dude. Yeah.
God, it's like a third of the price going during the week.
I used to go to my last like 2 years living in New York, I went to over 40 games a year. Now, at the time, like I was, you know, I was with Barstool, so I was getting a lot of tickets for free. But at the same time, if you ever just wanted to like pick up tickets, or and like that's why people give them, because the weekday games, there are just so many of them, they're so cheap.
Yeah, steal, steal. So yeah, row two of the 200 level for oh, I have so the tickets I got. Have you been in the Pepsi Lounge? Is that any cool?
Is that the thing in center field?
Yeah.
I mean, for a Thursday night game, it doesn't really matter that much because it's really good for like really hot days.
Okay.
Where it's like you use a little air conditioning.
Gotcha.
They have, so when you go in there, they have like two bars. So like you can go in there to get drinks. You can use a better bathroom.
Oh.
They have like high tops that you could sit at, but they have like rows of seats, but those are like a specific ticket. So I've been in there a couple times just to hang out, get drinks, cool down, but I've also sat there. And because it's like, you know, there's a tint on the glass on the outside. It looks like when you're sitting there, it just looks like you're watching the game on a huge TV.
Oh, so it's cool. The like, black in center field. It's like the that's it.
It's black. So it's cool. Check it out if you haven't been there.
Yeah, I just the tickets I got have that and Audi Club in it. But I don't think like Audi Club to me is very underwhelming because there's no atmosphere. It's like being at an airport bar.
Audi Club fucking sucks.
Yeah, like I don't it. It's all enclosed. There's no atmosphere.
It's in the corner. You got to like go to the corner of the stadium to get to it. Anyway, the view sucks. And and there's nothing like you don't get anything for free. So like it's a hassle.
Whereas Delta's sweet because you get a great seat.
Yeah. Yeah. Delta, you get a great seat, couple bars. They've got multiple food things in there, free water, free popcorn.
Yeah, no. So yeah, Thursday and Saturday, and I'll sign up for a split right now. I'm 4-0. Gotten lucky seeing Cole for three of my four games, and I know at some point that they're gonna come knocking on the door, and I'm gonna have to pay the piper. But 4-0 as of now.
You got a big week coming up. I was in Pittsburgh this week. Pirates on the road. They come home. The Diamondbacks are there. Now I'm going to Arizona. Diamondbacks on the road. Like these are places where like I would have caught, you know, I would have got off the plane and just gone straight to the stadium. But yeah, no, nothing.
That's happened to me. One time I was in Chicago and the Cubs were away. So I was like, I'll go to a White Sox game. And I went to like a White Sox Royals game in September by myself. And it was one of the most depressing things I've ever done. And, you know, there's 10,000 people in the stands. It feels like a jail in there.
I did a Pirates Braves game in 2019. Just like, hey, I landed. I got to go to a suburb. I don't got to be there till 11 a.m. tomorrow. I'm going to go check out this game. But speaking of the White Sox, you see who they called up today?
No.
The Red Monster, Clint Frazier. He's
really?
Back, baby. Yeah.
And Gary's playing for the Mets.
And
the
Gary Sanchez. And Gary Sanchez is catching Max Scherzer for the Mets.
Those are two guys that I could have seen never coming back. And we were joking about Hicks, but like Clint and Gary, two guys that wouldn't have been surprised if they just never made it back to the show.
No, I don't sports are weird where like, you know, a guy like Gary Sanchez, who was in the major leagues last year, you know, goes through all of spring training without an offer. Well, without a contract. That, which leads me to believe he was getting some minor league offers, you know, with like invitations to camp, and he wasn't willing to bet on himself there. And then, you know, took that Giants deal. But yeah, Gary Sanchez, New York Met. Gotta love it.
Two-time All-Star. God, that feels so – the fact that he's a two-time All-Star is crazy given where we are now. Like he's still living off that, and I think Clint's still living off I was the fifth pick in 2013 or whenever that was.
Yeah, like Clint is – I mean, let's be frank about it. Clint's on his way out of baseball. Yeah. Like this could be his last shot.
He's got to be, what, 27, 28 now?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so, like, he's got to – and so you got to remember, like, so he was with Cleveland. They know him. They haven't brought him back. He was with the Yankees, non-tendered. Was with the Cubs. they let him go. It was just with Texas. Now with the White Sox, like, you've been in five organizations. So that's a good amount of the league that has an opinion of you.
And remember that all these GMs talk to each other and scouts.
Yeah, so I do know, like, there were times when the Yankees tried to make trades and including Clint Frazier. And I believe it was the Padres were like, we're not taking him. We, like, whether or not we could figure it out on the field, we just think, like, mentally there's something not there. Which is, like, I think, like, the blow of being a number five pick and now having to bounce around the minor leagues and hope for a call up, that will mentally fuck with you. And it seems like it has.
I'm sure. Because you're not used to it, right? And we always talk about it, like, you grow up, you're the best player on every team. You bat third on every single team that you're on. You play up, you get called up early. And now you're like a retread and you're kind of on the bottom of the barrel. It's like,
you're a project. You don't want to be a project.
You're not you're the small fish in the big pond now. I wanted to, so we didn't even get to this. How did you think Sevy looked today?
I thought he looked good. I mean, he had a confidence that in himself that, you know, you just feel like isn't there when you've got Clark on the mound. I think you're going to, you know, we need to see more out of him, but it was nice to see him there even just for like 4 2/3. Cause, you know, normally when we're seeing guys come out of the game after 4 2/3, they've given up 5 runs just because, like, we don't have the bullpen, whatever. This is because he's still getting stretched out. Only 1 run. I'll take it.
It was exactly what I was expecting. Around 5 innings. He touched 99. He sat around 97. He was that 4 2/3, 1 run or whatever he gave up. Pretty standard. Obviously, they're going to stretch him out more. I think he threw 72-ish pitches today. Next time, 80 and 90. Keep stretching him out. But I thought it was exactly what we were going to expect, and I think he's going to do everything he can to get a big contract. Obviously, he's in his walk year. I don't think that contract will come from the Yankees, but I do think he's going to be very solid when he's actually pitching, which hopefully is every fifth day through the end of October.
Yeah, I think – yeah, he's got something to prove. We'll let someone else give him the bad contract. But, like, come out here and prove it. You know, we'll give you the best place to showcase your talent.
It's nice to have him back. It does suck that, like, that happens. Herman's suspension almost makes it feel like we're still shorthanded.
Yeah.
And he's not back yet. But, I mean, whenever this Herman thing's over, which I think Herman would be eligible to come back and pitch maybe this Saturday or Sunday. And then they'll have a full roster again.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, we just got to keep going. Keep chipping away at that. It's a long season. So we chip away at that 6.5 games. You know, next thing you know, you're trying to get that down to 5. Trying to get it to 3. Trying to get it to 1. And then you're there.
And even if we did get the... if we got the, I think it's the 4 seed, if we're the first wild card, we would still get home field advantage in an opening playoff series. So that's also something to shoot for, but let's shoot for the division while we can, while it's still there.
Yeah. You can follow Nick on Twitter at NKirbyNYY. You can follow me at JJ from the Bronx. Follow the show at George's Pod. Nick will be there on Saturday. We'll monitor the weather. We'll see what's going on. Go to BronxPinstripes.com to get your ticket. $75 gets you a ticket with a whole bunch of people. I believe you and a t-shirt, and there's a pregame, and there's probably other stuff included. They're always a good time. So go and do that, and we'll see you there, or we'll see you at the parade.